Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
News, good sports, all coming your way. First, I'll tell you about True Niagen. I've been taking cellular health vitamin True Niagen for a few months, about 6-7 months now. I feel great. Drew's been taking True Niagen for a number of years now. You get older, your body's experiencing a near 50% decline in NAD, which negatively affects the health of our cells. Lifestyle stressors like intense exercise, lack of sleep, overeating, and stress on the immune system also deplete NAD because cells expend more energy to function. Backed by Nobel Prize winning scientists, clinical research, and global regulatory approvals, this stuff is real. They're a sponsor, but if they weren't, I would be on it, just like Drew was on it before they were a sponsor as well. Support cellular energy and defense. Visit True Niagen. That's TRUNIAGEN.com. Use the code Adam. Go $20 off any 3-month plus supply through September 4th.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, Jeff Bezos was already the richest man. Now he's setting another money record. Last week, the Amazon CEO's wealth reached $202 billion. That's up about $87 billion from January. And I'm sure you can guess why there's been such a spike in people staying home and ordering products off of Amazon. That's been huge for him. He isn't alone. Other tech tycoons have been getting much richer throughout this pandemic. Earlier this month, Mark Zuckerberg was dubbed a centa-billionaire.
You know what? Can I say this? You know what the kids are going to miss with all the Amazon shopping? It's the way every store was specific and had its own smell. Like when you go in to buy tires, that place smelled like the tire store.
That's
freshly minted vulcanized rubber. And there was a store. There's a store like the Five and Dime had its own kind of weird smell.
Musty.
A little musty meets defeated. Yes,
you won't know this, but bookstores had their own smell too.
What do you call that one?
Yeah, they sold books before Amazon.
Who's buying books?
It sounds crazy. I know.
What do you think Amazon sold when they started?
A lot of people, actually.
It was a forest originally, and then they got into selling tchotchkes. Bookstores, magazines, you know, like the places had their own kind of smell to them. Like they didn't
have.
Yeah, they didn't.
Shoes.
Smelled like leather. And it's like
record stores.
Yeah. And you'd walk in, and it wasn't like overwhelming. It's not like you're going to a bakery or something. You know, you just kind of go in and go, yeah, this smells like a record store or shoe store. And it smelled right. It was kind of part of it. You know what I mean?
Are kids officially done going to the mall from here on out?
Yeah, I mean,
oh my God.
I was in the mall in Texas in San Antonio about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I got a haircut there.
But was it bustling?
You know what? There were people in there and they were moving around. I don't know. It kind of strikes me that there's a group that kind of treats the mall like it's an amusement park. Like, hey, you want to go out and do something and you want to do an air conditioning and you want to get some free samples? Like, it's a poor man's amusement park. Like, here we go. Ride the escalator to your heart's content, you know?
So great for toddlers.
Yeah. So
the escalator up and down, please.
I'm wondering if the upscale people are done with the mall. I feel like they're home shopping on whatever, you know, Wayfair or whatever they're doing. But this had a little more of a working man's mall, but they, you know, it was in San Antonio, so maybe it's different than L.A., but they were out there.
That's the smell of like stale popcorn, a little caramel corn in the air, maybe a whiff of Cinnabon.
Yeah. Or candle shop or something like
Yankee
that.
Yeah, Yankee Candle. Sure. Yeah. So the man that shot and killed John Lennon in 1980 was denied for parole for the 11th time.
Mark David Chapman's still alive?
He's still alive. He's 65 years young and serving 20 to life for prison for shooting Lennon. Chapman will serve his sentence for at least two more years before his next hearing, August 2022. The spokesperson for him would not provide any details why he was denied release, but he did say that he... he felt more and more shame as the years passed, because I think he is getting to the point where he knows he's going to be denied parole.
His character, I always think about that story because I always think about him, Mark David Chapman, on the beach in maybe Maui or Honolulu. He was on a Hawaiian island. He'd committed to kill himself. He'd parked his car and was doing the old asphyxiation with the exhaust pipe thing, and he was just gonna like watch the sunrise or something and kill himself in the wee dawn hours. And a surf fisherman, a guy who was there to fish, I don't know who these guys are who surf. They surf like where you stand, you know what I mean, like where you ride a Ziffy board. Like, oh, I don't know, so it seems like the worst kind of, like, you know, the thing about fishing is like it's okay to fish from a pier. It's cooler to fish from a boat, like a deep sea boat. But these guys are standing in the sand. Yeah. Cassie, I've never seen those guys be successful. Anyway, one of those guys comes around, finds him, pulls the hose out, like gets him to a hospital, brings him back to life. And then, you know, 5 years later, he shoots John Lennon. And it's got to be weird, right? The guy who was your assassin, if that guy didn't happen upon him, we wouldn't know any of this story, right? I mean,
no.
Right.
So it's so bizarre how life can be.
What's the thing with Hitler, right? If you knew that Hitler would become Hitler when he's a boy, would it be okay to kill him as a boy?
Oh yeah,
have to.
I would. It'd be okay to leave the guy in the car and let him take himself out. Be okay for take out Hitler. I think he went to the hospital. He went to like an institution or something. He ended up working at the institution he was at. Like he became like the hair club guy. Like I love, you know, I'm a
I'm also a member.
Or maybe it's the Remington guy who I love the company so much I bought it. Or is it Remington? What was the razor one?
The hair club for men.
Norelco or something. Right. Either way, he then worked there for a while. Then he went to New York, I think, and shot John Lennon.
On December 8th, 1980. And Lennon signed his newly released Double Fantasy album for Chapman. Hours before, Chapman shot him four times in the back, and he was arrested without incident, pleaded guilty to the shooting, and that was that.
There's a picture of it, of him signing the album with Chapman in the picture. It's haunting.
The guy who shot Reagan, that guy was paroled and like with his... There was some story about
Jody Foster. Have feelings about that?
John Hinckley.
Yeah, Hinckley. I think there's a big push to get him like back home or having weekend visits or something. There's some story.
Reagan pardoned him or something. There was something like in the immediate aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jody make a statement about that in terms of his parole?
Oh, that media whore, Jodie Foster, she's always making a statement. She
loves the limelight.
She's like, channel.
She's officially a Kardashian. I saw her TikTok. She drops one every 15 minutes.
I know. She's so played out.
Shaking her moneymaker. I don't know if she made a statement.
I know she had a statement about that. I mean, you know, for or against him being paroled.
I don't know. I don't know how it works, but I seem to remember he was, or at least he had some sort of weekend visitation or some sort of weird plan. Anyway, look, if you're going to shoot somebody, you know, shoot a gangbanger. You can't shoot John Lennon. I mean, nobody loves John Lennon more. First off, he's not even from here, and he's like our favorite American, you know? Yeah. You can't shoot that guy and ever expect to be paroled, because whoever grants you the parole is going to then become a pariah. You can't have that. You gotta shoot a gangbanger or drug dealer or something like that, then maybe. Maybe, or like an abusive husband or something, you know?
Sure.
Got to think about that. Yes. Now, look, you shoot Ringo, we can talk. You know, I don't mean now. I just
Ringo's almost all we have.
That's true.
You can shoot Pete Best.
Yeah, shoot Pete Best, and then we can talk. Right. Sorry.
So the California's popular ski resort is getting a name change, and we're all learning a little history lesson on why this is an inappropriate word. Squaw Valley Ski Resort will be no longer. Do you know why squaw is derogatory? Anybody?
Because it's 2020 and we're out of problems, so we're just fucking chewing on our own legs because there's nothing really going on in the problem department.
Yes.
Is that why?
The squaw and, like a concubine or something?
Yeah, it's derived from the Algonquin language. It may have once simply meant woman, but over generations, apparently it morphed into a misogynist and racist term to disparage indigenous women. So it's got to go. They're working to find a new name starting next year. But for people in California, you're going to have to call it something else. It's no longer Squaw Valley.
I can't even think of anything you said after you said Algonquin.
That's a great word.
All I'm thinking about, yes.
Oh, a million years ago when I first moved to LA, I went on a date with this guy who was an agent. And we went to the Polo Lounge or whatever in Beverly Hills. And when he asked me, and I still to this day don't know what this means in this context, he goes, I'd love to take you out. You know, we'll go to the Polo Lounge. It'll be very Algonquin.
Wow.
And I remain confused to the 15 years later.
Well, didn't they have their big round table feasts and stuff like that? Maybe.
I don't know.
Brian with an I, you okay to hang with us? I got a note that maybe
I'm
had
I'm
out.
Okay.
I'm okay, good.
There was thinking about Algonquin.
A weird note on there. All right, let me hit Bet Online, and then we'll move ahead with the Gina stories. Bet Online, NBA, NHL, the playoffs. They're all up and running. BetOnline has you covered. Get in on all the action, including the new NBA playoff bracket contest. MLB continues through the summer, too. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has hundreds of odds, futures, and props to bet on. Plus, their casino, it never closes, people. Head to their website today. Sign up for your free and receive your free welcome bonus for your first deposit. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. And don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus. Maybe there's a fight, maybe there's a UFC fight, maybe there's some fella that you weren't that interested in, but now you will because you get a little action going at BetOnline. So, BetOnline.ag, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I think a lot of these words, like squaw, they start off as something, and then enough kind of rednecks start throwing them around, and it's not really like the word ever changed. It's who's using it and what the context is. Let's see. Well, I was just watching Midway last night. You watch any World War II movie, you got Japs and Krauts and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, it's okay at the time it's out, but eventually. No. The thing about names is names for groups or within groups always evolve. You know what I mean? Like, queer, gay, homosexual, you know, black, Negro, you know, it just keeps Afro-American, Chicano. You know, I remember when Chicano was a thing, you know, and it just kind of keeps going. So time is going to disqualify all names for all things, because all you have to do is go 50 years in the future and then you go, you can't say that anymore. It doesn't really matter how it started.
Yeah, Latino and Latina are sort of out because now it's Latinx. because it's not gender identifiable.
Oh yeah, it's
Latinx.
Is it Latinx or Latinx?
Oh, I thought it was Latinx.
Oh, I thought it was Latinx.
Oh, look what
I'm still fascinated by the Algonquin thing.
I'm confused about that. I'm also Latinx.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It is Latinx.
I've never heard anyone call it Latinx. I can tell you NPR calls it Latinx.
Oh, because they heard me say it was Latinx. that was now problematic.
Pivot.
Latinx is how is the only way I've ever heard it.
Wow.
Did they spell it a certain way? Does that have an E on it?
Can you get in touch with the guy who invited you on a date and ask him what he meant by Algonquin?
I don't ever want to. He had soup cans rolling around in the back of his trunk.
He's a charitable guy. He was always going to do it.
Soup cans?
Yeah. It was a weird night.
And why were you in the trunk of his car?
Well, I did ask.
This is even more. Yeah.
Well, if you want to be creeped out and you do a hard stop and something's rolling around back there, I would rather it be soup cans than, the remains of the last girl he went on a date with.
Fair.
So yeah, I could have been, but he's told me it was soup cans. So let's head over to the fast food desk. Adam, when Jimmy took out the McDonald's when he ate it, when it was on the cork board for a year, was it an Egg McMuffin or a burger?
Jimmy took the piece of Canadian bacon.
Canadian bacon.
So we know it was from an Egg McMuffin or a morning breakfast sandwich.
Got it.
So he took the Canadian bacon out, he slid it out, and then he used a thumbtack and put it onto the corkboard at the morning show office, Kevin and Bean, when we were in Burbank. And it was Jimmy had Frank Murphy had a desk in there, the producer. Kevin and Bean didn't have a desk in there. Jimmy may have had a desk in there. And that's where, and he plugged it on there and he put the date on there and he said, I'll eat it in a year. And then he ate it in a year.
And he was fun. And he lived to tell the tale. He's and become quite successful.
Not only lived, he flourished.
He flourished. His word.
Thrived. Well, I ask because a woman's got him beat, but there's no evidence that she ate it. And we have the video. A TikTok user showed a video showing off a McDonald's hamburger and french fries that apparently been sitting in a box in a closet since 1996. It does not look bad at all. Mm. TikTok user Ali Sherb shared a video of her grandmother who's pulling out this box in a contents box that's just marked hamburger, and we'll let her tell the story.
This is the sack that it came in, and it was advertising a NASCAR race in 1996. So this dates the hamburger.
Is this Jodie Foster?
24 years old now. The french fries look like they maybe could have fallen under your seat a month or so ago. They've never rotted or decayed. The hamburger itself, the bread has never molded.
I would have eaten that in high school for sure.
24 years old.
And not as a goof, like earnestly eating it. Like,
wait, I don't understand.
It's never even broken.
What? What don't you understand?
24 years old.
Yeah,
I don't NASCAR.
Why she kept it?
Not sure what would happen if you ate it, though.
How does it not change? I don't understand. How does it not change?
Let me tell you
fast
something.
Fast food magic.
Good food, like bouillabaisse or fish-based.
Bouillabaisse?
Like I'm gonna let me paint
really?
An
Chapino.
I'm gonna paint Algonquin type feast.
Okay.
Here for you to summon in your mind, but the best. All right, let's put it to you this way: the best stuff goes south the fastest. Like what's the best guacamole? Guacamole doesn't make it through the night in the refrigerator. It's gone.
Sushi.
Sushi gone, nachos gone, all the greats. They collapse under their own weight. They're gone the next day. You can't even take some stuff. Like I said, sushi falls on it's all. But now McDonald's, that's kind of like Joan Rivers, which is like never really had a prime, but still look about the same 30 years later. You know
just
what I mean?
Just as good today as it was 30 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. I wish Joan was around to appreciate that compliment.
That was good.
So it didn't. It started.
The bread.
It started.
Bread is beautiful.
It starts. That's nice. It starts as far away from food as you can, and then the bar is pretty low because if you think about all the stuff that is food in its purest form, like, you know, surf and turf or something, like that's going to suffer. You know what I mean?
But like the bread that I have, like it. I mean, it's like a 4-day window.
Yeah.
Which I understand, like processing, but 24 years, there's no mold.
There's, I mean, when it doesn't start out food based, it doesn't. Right.
Yeah.
Change.
You don't get mold on aluminum or fake tits, do you?
Well, no comment.
So there it is.
There it is.
Yeah. I argue it's not really food. And you're right. Like, this foodiest of all the food is like sashimi, and that doesn't make it to the next day. You know,
you can't eat leftover sashimi. No. I wouldn't recommend it.
Although I fucking do. I mean, I brought a whole box of sushi on Garagos's jet when we went to San Antonio. Let's not forget.
Well, you want to bring your own sushi to San Antonio. I think we can all agree on that. Yes. So staying around the fast food desk here, Kentucky Fried Chicken, very interesting marketing pivot on their end. They've decided to hit pause on their famous slogan.
Hey, finger can I say good. This is about sushi. The reason I ended up with a bunch of sushi is sushi, as we've all kind of discovered, I think, it's the last food that has a lot of rules attached to it in that they know we need sushi. And when I say they, you know who we're talking about. Mm. They know we want it. They know we need it. They know we need it. And when I ordered sushi, it was a few weeks ago, I had some people over at the other shop. And I was like, give me four of the whatever boxes. It's the new, what's it? What was it, Max?
The bento?
Yeah, it's like a bento box. But yeah, the place is called Crispy Rice.
Right. So I was like, give me four boxes. Then I found out one, and they're $50 a box, you know. Damn. Then I found out one of the person was like vegan, so I like got a new order. So then with an hour to spare, I was like, all right, cancel one of the boxes, and here, let me add this sushi order. And they're like, no, there's no canceling of the boxes. You're getting the four boxes. And I'm like, because if it was a fucking taco, I'd tell them to go fuck themselves, but they know we need it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they know we have it. We're addicted to their drug known as sushi. So they're like, well, you got the four boxes, bro, because you ordered them. And I'm like, yeah, well, it was an hour. We got an hour, so just give the three. And they're like, nope, you get the four. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And then here's the new order. So add this to it, and they're like, yep. And I was like, and just put it in with the four boxes. They're like, nope, that'll come separately.
Be another hour.
And I'm like, why not just include it in that order? It's like, nah, we don't do that. So thus I the following day I walked onto Mark's airplane with a bunch of sushi, because no way am I throwing that expensive shit away and going to San Antonio.
Like, a place called Crispy Rice has a lot of protocols around the right way to do sushi.
Yes. Yeah, well, who did Crispy Rice? Who was Crispy Rice? Is that Sugarfish or something?
No, it's, what's the one starts with the K?
Sugarfish is what?
Yeah. Katsuya?
Katsuya, yeah. It's a Katsuya.
Yeah, the Katsuya, yeah. No,
nailed
schnapps.
That one from deep.
Yeah.
So, no more finger looking good going to the other side of the spectrum at KFC. Why? Why would they get rid of that slogan now? Because they want to discourage people from licking their fingers during a global pandemic. Catherine Tan Gillespie, she's the global chief marketing officer over there. She said in a statement, "We find ourselves in a unique situation, having an ironic or iconic slogan that doesn't quite fit in the current environment. They want you to know the menu isn't changing, but the slogan will come back when the time is right. But the time is not right now." We all do what the slogan says.
This is a pure publicity grab, right? This is one of those. This is Jodie Foster-esque in the need for attention. This is trying to get attention, right?
Yes.
There's no reason anyone would know one way or the other.
No. And I imagine Christy would say it's brilliant, because I think maybe Chris, if you can find it, one, I don't know if it's an actual commercial, if it's just an ad, but they've tiled out the slogan.
Yeah, I can hear it. My wife, Brian, is in advertising. And if it was her, she'd be like, way too late. Should have jumped on this in March or April.
Is this equivalent to when, remember when Jack in the Box blew up the clown? Is this
clown? Well, that wasn't as socially conscious as this one is.
That was rebranding.
Yeah.
But this, This, no one really, when you say it's finger licking good, you're not there. You're not endorsing licking your fingers. This is why this is really stupid. This is really stupid. No one walks into and they're like, thank God I'm here. I can lick my fingers here.
With
everywhere
no judgment.
Else, they tell me exactly. Everywhere else, they would judge me. But here, but we're in a global pandemic now. So now you can't lick your fingers here anymore.
And obviously, there's got to be zero difference between eating the aforementioned McDonald's hamburger, holding it in your hand, and then eating the fries and dipping it. I mean, there's no science here at all. This is purely a grab. This is just an attention grab. So
wash fingers thoroughly before.
Oh my God!
I prefer John 3:16 or whatever's on the bottom of In-N-Out.
Yeah, Bible verses.
Yeah, they're a day late and a dollar short in this department.
Is this a joke, though? Is that a joke thing?
It's not
a meme thing, or no?
I think it's a real attempt. I think in our new sort of fake news era, companies are kind of realizing, like, we don't have to mean it. If we can just say stuff and create buzz. And also, you know, it's not bad buzz. I heard this story on, I don't know, TMZ. Now I'm hearing it here. Like, we're just talking about chicken. I'm five times more likely to eat KFC on my way home from the studio tonight than I was before this story. Brian with an I, Brian Baumgartner, I know you got a hard out right about now, at least so says my screen. So I will give you a plug and let you get about your merry way. The podcast is an oral history of The Office. It's available exclusively on Spotify, and you can Twitter and Instagram at BB Baumgartner if you wish. Thanks, Brian. I was going to say Brian with an I. This was fun.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
So fun to talk to you.
Come back anytime you like. All right.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, Brian. Let me hit Geico here. Right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on motorcycle and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico would already be saving you if you were with Geico. Never been a better time to switch to Geico and save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. You can lock in the savings. So visit geico.com to learn more. That is geico.com. All right, what else we got, Gina Grad?
Can I interject with one real quick thought? Is I'll ask Christy about this if she has any insight. But KFC's ad agency is widened into Kennedy. That's a huge ad agency. They notably do Nike's commercial. I mean, they have monster clients and they have, you know, very public work. I wonder if KFC is more of a conservative company because they have their own, you know, people on their side, their ad people. And I wonder if they just didn't want to jump into COVID right away. Because you're right, this is a day late and a dollar short. Like, this would have been newsworthy, you know, in March or April. And now it's just kind of like, all right, one more company.
Well, I'm trying to think of their commercials. They had that all the guys, the campaign's called Everybody But Adam Carolla Gets a Chance to Play Colonel Sanders. And then they had now they are going with these kind of old timey ones where they're showing like footage from the 70s. I mean, they seem kind of conservative.
I can ask.
I got to tell you that bucket of KFC going over to Vince and Pat Bruno's, our cousin's house in Santa Monica. And by house, I mean very small apartment. But the idea that we would go to Santa Monica and that Vince would come home with a bucket of KFC, this is monumental. I mean, this is
worth the drive.
Yeah, you know, they talk about on Hard Knocks or these football movies, like, you circle the calendar when the Ravens come to town. Like, you circle the calendar when Vince Bruno spends $11 on chicken. Like, this is a big day. The big deal. Yeah, just such a big deal.
Sounds so goddamn good right now.
It does, doesn't it? And that bucket, there's something about that bucket because the bucket, you know, had the window to excellence because the grease would just soak through the bucket. By the way, that bucket was considered a durable good.
No,
hey, we're done with the chicken. Now we can play with the bucket. This is awesome.
cardboard.
I'll put the bucket on my head. I'm the king of all chickens. Like, oh, yeah. No, that bucket. The bucket was next to my dad. There was a cigar box. Let's not forget.
That was a good item.
There was also a cigar tube. There's like like the little aluminum cylinder.
Tampon tube.
Yeah, that was good for something.
Yeah.
You just couldn't throw that shit away. It's like we're trapped on an island. It's like Tom Hanks. Like, what washed up? A cigar tube and a bucket of chicken. Okay, we're going to use these.
Make a radio.
Yeah.
Speaking of fast food, we just watched the movie The Founder again, starring the incredible Michael Keaton. Great movie about how McDonald's came to be and how Ray Kroc, not the all-American nice guy you thought he was.
It's a great movie, and the story of the movie is even more interesting about Harvey Weinstein basically buried that movie. Like, that was an award-worthy movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Oh, why'd he bury it?
I don't know. I bet a smarter listener than me could tell you. I think it was some pettiness, perhaps, with the with the director. I don't know, but the movie got essentially buried.
Yeah, wow. I remember that. And I haven't seen it. I've heard how good it was from
to watch Michael Keaton. You'd love it.
Well, maybe Keaton didn't play the game. Maybe he didn't come up to Harvey's room and give him a blowjob. You know? I don't know. Yeah. I'm speculating.
I bet he didn't. I bet you're right about that.
I can almost guarantee.
He may not have blown Weinstein. Maybe. I don't want to get into trouble, but he might
not. No, this is not the time. So there are new CDC guidelines, and maybe this is how we know we are, if we needed more confirmation, we're officially an idiocracy, when the Center for Disease Control and Prevention has to issue guidelines about how to talk to crazy people who come into your business and start trouble because they don't want to wear the mask, or we'll just call them Karens for now. The CDC says, don't argue with a customer if they make threats or become violent. They add that if needed, an employee should instead remove himself or herself and go to a safe area, because there's been so many incidents now at businesses, be them Costco, Domino's Pizza, wherever, ones that are recorded and not recorded, that the CDC has to now speak about it.
Biden's America.
The agency also advises that employees should not attempt to force anyone who appears upset or violent to follow COVID-19 policy or other practices related to COVID-19 if the person's getting upset or violent.
Yeah, it's a bad time to work retail.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
I mean, maybe Bezos is right. Maybe we should all just sit home and shop if you can work. But I couldn't imagine dealing with the public these days. And then they start asking you questions, and then they start filming you the whole time you're answering the questions. Like, let's not forget, I taught traffic school, and I couldn't enforce any of the rules. Traffic school, you have to be bonded. Like, you are like an officer, basically, an enforcement arm of like the DMV. Like
an officer of the DMV, really?
You know, they would tell me all the time, like when they issue you your completion certificates, like they're all numbered sequentially. They have to be entered into the log. It's essentially like, you know, what you're saying to somebody is, You got a ticket. You got a moving violation, right? And then I'm going to issue the certificate that says you no longer have that on your record, or you don't have to pay the fine or whatever it is. But it all gets sucked into a kind of motor vehicles, court, traffic, highway patrol kind of thing. Like it's not catch as catch can. Like I didn't give a shit, but it's real when they give you all these. It's like a meter maid having her parking violations book or something. You can't just leave it on a counter and forget about it. Like, it has to be accounted for, you know? And so they would always say that you got to get licensed and bonded. I don't mean licensed and bonded, but you have to officially get
certified.
You have to get certified and fingerprinted and stuff like that, because you have to make sure that all this stuff is on the up and up. I never gave two shits. Thank God. I just sat there and talked about anything I wanted and took an hour and a half of lunch. I remember one time I was eating lunch with some students who were just like eating Mexican food, drinking some beers, like having a good time. Eventually, one of the people came and got us. And they're like,
one of the students?
Yeah. They're like, hey, you got to start again. And I'm like, hey, what's your hurry? You know? And they're like, it's so hot outside. Like, we need to get back in the classroom. I'm like, all right. I would be horrible at enforcing any rules. If I work, we're talking yesterday about that beach club that had the had the swing set with the yellow tape around it. If I worked there, I'd just be like, I'm not putting the tape up. We're cool. Or if somebody was on it, I'd just be like, knock yourself out. Like I would be horrible at enforcing those things. Right. I'd hate to be a cop. All right. What do we got? Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, J.B. Weld. Both pros and DIYers trust J.B. Weld, and they've been around for over 50 years, so why not? Available at jbweld.com. Retailers everywhere, including Home Depot, Lowe's, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. It's J.B. Weld. Tomorrow, President Donald Trump will be on the program from the White House. I guess we're going to be at the Rose Garden there. Freshly remodeled Rose Garden. So we'll
That's right.
Kick the turf over there and tell you how Melania did. I meant Arizona. Tempe Improv, September 18th, 19th. We'll do live pods there and stand up there. Salt Lake City, Wise Guys, live pods there, 2nd and 3rd of October. And then we'll do some stand up there. I'm your emotional support animal. It's the book. You can get it. Check it out. You can check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/Adam Carolla. We're putting all the stand up there. Brian Baumgartner, and you can check out his pod as well, an oral history of The Office. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Gina and Bald and Brian Baumgartner saying mahalo.
Stick around. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla return with Good Sports right after this.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi to low sports fans. Welcome to another edition of Good Sports. Sure to be filled with some hot sports talk on this Tuesday. We await another episode of Hard Knocks this evening. Ace Carolla is over there, and we've got a guest with us today. Right, Ace?
Chris Myers is here. He's a legend in the game, and he's got a new podcast, CMI, the Chris Myers Interview Podcast. It is new episodes weekly on Podcast One. First guest is Urban Meyer. So I'm sure Chris has the ability to, or you have relationships with a lot of these big names in sports, right?
Yeah, people like Troy Aikman are going to come on. Jimmy Johnson, right, the former Cowboy head coach. These are guys either covered or they're broadcasters now. Difficult to get current players right now because they're involved. It seems like all the leagues are playing. But I think often these guys that played the game and that are announcers, they can be a little more candid. They have a better little overview for some of the lengthy discussions we want to have, like Urban Meyer talking about college football and the fact that the commissioner of the Big Ten is not allowing those teams to play, at least as we speak. There have been some scramble, but his son is playing in the SEC. So there's a lot of interesting people to talk to. As you know, everybody has a story to tell. It's just whether it's topical or whether it's somebody you want to listen to talk.
Well, regarding those stories, to me, Chris, an absence in the 21st century for the sports fan is the long form interview. Roy Firestone starts it on ESPN, then you take over that half hour show of you sitting one on one for 30 minutes, commercials accepted. That was must watch stuff when I would get home from school every day. I mean, I would watch that thing. Why do you suppose? I mean, people say ADHD or whatever, but why do you think that's a void now?
Well, for number one, the social media, a lot of players have their own platform, as we call it, whether they want to send things out on Twitter or Instagram or they have their own website. So that, in a sense, has taken away from them trying to appear on a show where they would have a voice and wanted to spend a half hour talking about something they were promoting or just getting to know them in that type of situation. I believe that there still is a need for that, though, and when we can find it, that's one thing a podcast does do. I think it helps in that area. And the trend of, you know, arguing radio, and you take this side and I'll take that side, which came into television. They want quick responses, and actually they don't think people will listen long enough. But I think people will listen longer if they find it interesting. And through those years, we tried to do, when I did the show and Roy was the originator, but up close, we were the first one to have O.J. Simpson on live after both of the trials, and there was some, we tried to do them live to tape, so there wasn't editing, so there, as we call it, so we could turn it around and get it out there, so people got to know somebody, their facial expression when you asked a question, or their reaction, instead of trying to edit something out, and you got to know athletes in a way that I think we are missing a little bit today. So I think there's still a need for something like that.
And then moments like that long form one-on-one create classic situations like Jim Rome and Jim Everett saying, call me Chris again, see what happens. I mean, that'd be fine on the radio, but we know to see that guy get up and topple over the table and come over the top. That was good. That was compelling stuff. I was thinking about Roy Firestone. Right. You're saying, yeah, Roy out in Los Angeles? Did he start in Los Angeles?
Yeah, well, he became – I'm from Miami, and he was a broadcast sportscaster in Miami. He came to L.A., worked for the CBS station in L.A., and then created this – it was the Sports Look show, and then it became Up Close. And then once it got on ESPN on a national platform, he established that and had it going. And I took over – I was at ESPN in the early 90s, came back to L.A. 94, and then did it for 4 years through that stretch before – you know, the industry changed a little bit. But there was a funny story out of real quick. And talk about things you see or don't see. This didn't happen on the air, but like Jim Rome, Jim Everett, by the way, is one of the nicest guys. So you knew he had to really lose his cool, and that wasn't staged. We had Mark Gastineau on. Do you remember him?
The former jet who did
some acting. And he, I mean, these are the stories you don't know. We would fly guys in and we'd tape the show in Hollywood. And he locked himself. Well, first of all, we do the interview on the set, and he goes into a whole therapy session kind of a thing, and he says, I broke up with Bridget Nielsen, whatever, and I'm crushed, but I have her tattoo on my ass, and I want to show everybody. And he goes to stand up, and he pulls his pants. We had to hold him from that. And then at a commercial break, he said, I had my dental work done by some people in Iowa, and I want to give them a promotion. And I, when he came back from the break, I said, we really don't do that kind of thing. And he pulled the teeth out and dropped them in my coffee mug. And so at the end, he was like, I don't think you'll like me. And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to do an interview here. But he locked himself in his like hotel room that we put him up in, and he wouldn't answer. The police had to come and get him up. So it was just one of those crazy, crazy behind the scenes guest stories that you just never hear about.
I have similar stories involving episodes of Crank Yankers and Andy Dick. So I feel your pain. We flew
his name said
we flew a guy to Vegas and he won't come out of his goddamn hotel room. I was just having a funny thing here because, you get older and your memory fades a little. Mine does with names. I was like, names, you know what I mean? And I was just like, I was thinking about these names, and I'm coming back to Sheck with Jim Hill in a second because he's another guy who's just been out in Los Angeles my entire. But I'm sitting here and I'm like, that story with the Rams quarterback Everett. Oh yeah, who was that? Was that Jim? Was that Roy Fire? No, that was Jim Rome. I was like, that's Jim Rome. Right. And then I went, what was that Everett? What was that? Was it Jim? Oh wait, they're both named Jim. Wait, if I'm taking Jim, I'm just using. No, I guess it was Jim Everett. Then I'm sitting there going, what's the black sportscaster? God, a guy played DB for the Packers. The guy looks brand new. Is it 70s? Is that Jim? Wait a minute. Do I just think everyone's name is Jim now? But everyone's name is Jim. That's Jim Hill's the guy I'm trying to think of. It's just everyone whose name I was trying to summon was Jim.
Oh, okay.
And I love Jim Hill. Jim Hill's still on the air. Jim Hill.
Yes.
Jim Hill's got
to, great.
He's got to be 70 years old. I mean, he played
40. Yeah.
He played in the league in the 60s, right? 70s, yeah. 60s? Gary, what year did Jim Hill, when did he start in the NFL?
I don't remember when he played, but I remember him being it seems like he's always been on local TV in Los Angeles and always connected with the great athletes that come through here or have played in the Los Angeles.
And Sheck does a spot on Jim Hill, and that's why. That's why the ladies love him. He does. He goes to the bar, he finds the young 23-year-old ladies, and he busts out the Jim Hill, and it's a panty dropper. Look, he's not going to say it. I'm going to say it.
Oh,
I've been there.
I didn't know this.
Oh yeah.
68 to 75.
68.
And you know that it, and you know that is true, my friends.
and that is it in sports. Okay, got it. Yeah.
That's why the ladies love it. He'll sometimes just order a beer. Like, he'll just ask if it's on tap, if they have Bud on tap in that voice, and see all the ladies spin around in their on their stools.
And I will that's have a funny. Michelob Ultra, my friend.
Wow.
Hi, my name's Dave.
Oh, and then the air goes out of the room.
68, the man was playing in the NFL in the 60s, and it's 2020, and he looks like he could still play in the NFL.
Well, a guy who's been around for about that long, it seems, in the sports zeitgeist is Tom Brady, and because I'm a child who just focuses on whatever is within his line of sight, I see you have the red Tom Brady jersey right behind you there.
Oh,
what's your thought about Tom Brady and Tampa versus Bill Belichick up in Foxborough with Superman now?
Well, that's what I love about
this. Who wins that head to head?
Yeah, we're gonna see who needs who more. Bringing in Cam Newton and Jared Stidham, who is, you know, Belichick loves to have a guy that nobody else believes in. That I'm going to show you, I can have this guy play quarterback. So I think in New England you might see a series of different people playing. You know, it's not one set starter. I think Brady's in a terrific position, and I think he just wanted to get out from under. He looks, and I usually do the Buccaneers preseason TV games with Rondé Barber, and he looks terrific. He's got his own health plan for a guy who's 43. He really looks, you know, like he's 30. His arm strength is fine. It's not what it once was, but he's got speedy receivers around him. He's got Gronkowski, best set of tight ends, and he's got an offensive-minded coach. He's never had an offensive-minded head coach. Unbelievable. Through his high school, college, NFL career, obviously Belichick, defensive-minded with all his Super Bowls. But I think he Arians and him are going to create their own little offense out of the talent that they have. And they're a playoff team. I think the NFC is a lot more balanced this year. But I did want to say one thing about Jim Hill, too, real quick. Just when I came out to Los Angeles many years ago as a younger broadcaster sports guy, he's one of the nicest guys, whether you're a Laker a game or you're at a Ram practice or Dodger practice. He always comes up, says hi, is very cordial. And that goes a long way with me. You don't forget that, aside from being good on the air.
I agree. Lovely man. And I've actually done my stupid impression for him and everything. I've had a laugh about it.
Okay, yes. Good.
It's now bumping up the rev limiter or bumping off the rev limiter of racist now, Sheck. I'm sorry. But today's climate, I think you got to bury the Jim Hill. As much as the babes love it, move on to like Roy Firestone or Keith Olbermann or something if you want to get the ladies.
By the way, Roy Firestone was a terrific impressionist. He did opening acts in Vegas, and he did some sports impressions too, long before, you know, Frank Caliendo has dominated that area. But he did some singing, you know, the old Johnny Mathis kind of stuff, and terrific.
I forgot. Yeah, he was like a bit of a stand up, kind of a. I'm going. We're going live and local here, people. But like a Fritz Coleman type. Fritz Coleman was like weather guy, but would do stand up
right,
as well. Right. All right, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll have to do it again soon because I feel like there's so much to get to. We just praised your long format. Now we're cutting you off at the knees here. CMI, the Chris Myers Interview Podcast, it is up and available weekly on Podcast One. Thanks, Chris Myers.
All right. Thank you. Enjoy you guys. Anytime. We'll see you again.
Thank you. And last but not least, Bet Online, NBA, NHL, playoffs up and running. Bet Online has you covered. You get in on all the action, including a new NBA playoff bracket contest. MLB continues through the summer as well. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. Bet Online has hundreds of odds, futures, and prop bets to bet on as well. Plus, their casino never closes. So, you head to the website, go there today, sign up, receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit, and get to having some fun. The I'll tell you, man, having a little something riding on a game, or like you take a UFC match that you don't really care that much about, put a little scratch on one of the guys, instant focus, instant into it. That's the truth. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Well, there you have it. Thanks to Chris Myers. Best wishes to him with the new show on Podcast One. And we'll be back with more hot sports talk for you tomorrow. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports out. Good
sports. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere, and all the links are at adamcarolla.com.
Bronco really touched a moment in American history where people didn't know they wanted it, but once they saw it, they were like, ooh, that's what I need.
The rise, fall, and rebirth of the Ford Bronco is a metaphor for the last 50 years in America. It was born into a world of tie-dye shirts and peace signs.
You know, the emergence of the Bronco really lines up with a whole new era of America. You've got the baby boomer generation coming into their own, got the women's liberation movement, you've got the civil rights movement. All of these things are sort of happening in the 1960s.
He came of age in the 1970s.
It was revered for being unapologetically big and boisterous.
And it survived a horrific midlife crisis in the 90s.
We're seeing live pictures right now. The football hero believed to be a passenger in that Ford Bronco.
And then suddenly, it disappeared.
It was something that we never got answers to, and to this day, I still don't know whatever happened.
But the Bronco didn't die. It just went underground.
Well, the first rule of Bronco Underground is you don't talk about Bronco Underground.
Now, that's where our ragtag team of heroes did everything imaginable to bring back Bronco.
When you're trying to change the direction of the battleship, that's really freaking difficult to do.
For people like, hey, bring back the Bronco to be a home run. This is not my first rodeo. It's not that simple.
Join us on this wild ride, an 8-part serial uncovering 50 years of blood, sweat, and dirt. This is Bring Back Bronco, the untold story. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. You'll be the first to know when a new episode drops.